are no longer.
The nation mostly clean, but
they're coming after me. I don't know who they are.
But you gotta take this along.
The implications.
Well, 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 Wayne, my boy. It's been more than a few days since I've seen you. I was thinking perhaps that you were growing tired of my stories.
Yeah, oh no. I like your stories. I just took a few days off to fly back home and go to a wedding.
And not your own, I assume?
No, of course not. It was just my sister's wedding, my younger sister.
You have a good time?
I guess.
Oh, sure sounds like it.
It's really hard to get really happy for your sister getting married. Maybe I was mildly happy at most. It just brings up all these icky feelings watching your own sister being romantic with that guy she's marrying. Like, now I have to see that guy's smug face if I ever decide to go home for Christmas.
Your parents happy about it?
My mom was. We lost my father a while ago, so there's that. And my mom's boyfriend was trying to fill in the father role at the wedding, and my sister wasn't really having that.
If you want to share some of your own stories, son, I mean, be my guest. I've been talking your ears off for weeks now. I mean, maybe it's time I settled back in and listen and learn a little bit more about Wayne's life.
I don't really want to talk about it. I'd rather just find out more about the story you were telling. And one of the characters in particular, Willow. She's the one that isn't supposed to be there, but she seems to fit the best. She's a contradiction.
Indeed she was.
Did she,
I don't want to spoil the story, son. If you stick with me long enough, you'll find out.
What else can you tell me about her?
All right, well, let's see. Way back then, I mean, this is 1993, I'd lost Williams during Waco. Fontaine was transferred to Houston to deal with the fallout, so he was reassigned to my supervision, him and Lewiston. Now, Lewiston went off and got himself killed. The story I've been telling you is about that. Yeah, so that's when I tasked Fontaine to find out why. And I sent in Somerset to consult because, I mean, she'd work with Lewiston as well.
Right.
Then Willow Keeson shows up. Now, before Fred even called me, I saw her on the goddamn television. And you cannot miss this woman. Towering over most common folk, wearing government garb that makes her stand out even more. DEA, just like George. And this woman was a local celebrity to boot. A famous astronaut father. Famous high school athlete. If you wanted to do something covert, this is the last thing you would ever do is send in that woman.
Yeah, but she was already there.
She was already there, that's right. She was involved, deeply involved, before Fred or anyone could do anything about it.
They tell me all your stories, all the little worries you cry. They tell me what the world needs, what to say, who to please, where my loyalties should lie. They tell me what you're building, far too many stories high, the stories high. And tell me where will we be when it comes down from the sky.
It's Friday morning. We'll say, what, about 9:30, because your meeting's at 10 o'clock. Right now, Agent Fred, you are parking your vehicle on the outside of Dorothy's residence that you dropped her off last night. showing up, you know, did you bring anything with you, or are you just coming as yourself?
I think he would have came with maybe like a coffee and maybe like, I don't know. He probably has a feeling that she's recently up. Just a gut feeling. So he'd probably like bring in, I don't know, not pastries, but like donuts either.
But donuts is pretty common.
Yeah.
In South Texas, it's donuts, man.
Donuts, well, donuts it is. And I think he'd be like looking for for croissants and you're like, well, it's all donuts. And just kind of go and yeah, bring in a few donuts.
Yeah, so she.
And so you.
She come.
He knocks on the door. It takes a little while. But go ahead. Door. Give it to us, Dorothy.
Yeah, so she opens the door and walks out, sort of, you know, nudging her cat with her foot back into the house. Like, no, you gotta stay. And then she like closes the door and locks up behind her. She's got on like a nice sort of puffy-ish white blouse and some black leggings or something like that. And has her bag, and also has a coffee. She's got a thermos, just a like a silver like mug of coffee that she's drinking. Did you say that you also brought coffee? Okay, yeah. So she would see that if you're like offering it to her, she'd be like, "Oh, thank you," and then dump it into her own coffee and continue to drink it. And she you can tell that she looks tired. Yeah, she hops in the car and. From there.
There's donuts right. In the back if you want.
Oh, awesome.
Now, it's August in South Texas. How is she dressed? Is she dressed for the weather?
Yeah, I would think so. What she's wearing is pretty light. Like I said, sort of a puffy white, you know, silk blouse or something like that, and just some, like, black leggings.
And what about Fred? Is he dressed professionally, or is he, I mean, what's he wearing?
He's dressed professionally, pretty much exactly like I just imagine opening is like his closet, and it's just the same white shirt,
like a cartoon like
with
character,
slight variations. Yep. With honestly, he probably has a few jeans and whatever, but he doesn't wear those on the job. Black pants, you know, official black shoes, little suspenders. He puts on a tie. I think he probably like. Goes for like a black tie and figures out maybe a little bit of color. So he goes for a blue one. Probably arranges his hair a bit back. It's not very long hair. And he sees that it's going at the temple. He just kind of slicks it back, I think, with like water or something so that it's not too annoying. Yeah, that's pretty much what he looks like. Freshly shaved.
Yeah, so Dorothy, you go ahead and, you know, refill your coffee cup with Fred's cup. Coffee. And as you do it, you kind of absently swat a fly away. It's kind of buzzing around you. And as you guys move down the steps towards the lawn, there's a few more buzzing around and kind of milling around a bit. Mostly as you get closer to the street near the gutters, in the edge of the street, they're kind of just hovering in these awkward little annoying clouds near the edges of the street. There's a kind of a rotten smell that you can smell from the gutters. Reminding you of the amphibians you saw the day before. The flies have started to gather here at the edges of the street, on the edges of the lawn, the sidewalks, kind of in just low meandering circles, buzzing mindlessly and pointlessly around, you know, irritating you more than anything else.
I think at first she would have thought it was maybe like her garbage or something like that. Like, you know, maybe tomorrow's garbage day, or maybe it's Friday, maybe today's garbage day, and they just haven't come and picked it up. But when she sees that they're around the gutters, I think that puts her off a little bit, and her heart sinks a little bit. She's like, she says out loud, "Number four."
Fred just kind of turns and looks at it. It's just, we're just associating meaning with this, nothing more.
Yeah, so get inside the car, close the doors. It's relatively fine here. A couple of flies snuck in, and you have to swat them out and get rid of them before you can enjoy the donuts. And as you pull away, from time to time, as you stop near a corner or stop in traffic, you'll see that near gutters, near edges of streets, along sidewalks, near indentations where there's kind of streams and drainage areas, or you pass over the stream or the river, you know, there's the flies seem to be kind of milling about in odd circles, mostly near the water, near the waterways, near the drainage systems. You know, they're not blanketing the city or anything crazy like that, but you notice them. There's something that you're now starting to pay attention to as you work your way to the police office. Now, question, were the three of you going to meet first and then go to the police office, or were you all gathering at the police office at the same time?
Police office, I assume that, yeah, right. We would all be showing up.
Let's have everyone just gather there. We have two vehicles at this point then. So we're going to be in Fred's car, and Willow will take her own vehicle there. All right. So we cut to the police department. You know, there's a parking lot outside. You park your vehicles, enter in through the front. It's a two-story local municipal building, basically, in the downtown area, with a large service lot nearby for all the service vehicles and whatnot. Nearby is the local municipal jail, you know. But you enter in, go into the lobby, and we'll say Willow's waiting there for you.
So yeah, I was going to say, can I roll to see if I encounter them before, if we have enough, if I can encounter them in the parking lot before we go in or not?
If you want to, you can wait outside. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, I'd like to catch them before we go in.
Yeah, so Willow's waiting for you outside. After you park your vehicle, she's there, and she approaches you in the parking lot before you enter.
How does Willow look?
Like the poster child DEA agent at this point. So very professional looking pantsuit, stilettos. Like, she's already tall, and she knows when she puts on stilettos, it's ridiculous. So she's about 7 foot tall right now. Just as imposing as Willow can possibly be, very official looking, right? Straight black, white shirt, white tie, or black tie, right? Very 90s fed.
Yeah. And Fred, one thing you probably know, it hasn't been that long, but with the FBI, the DEA and the FBI like to kind of outfit each other. Like, who is more fed than the other? You know, they each do their, when they go fed, they go total fed to try to outfit the other federal agency. There's a little bit of a professional rivalry between the two agencies as to, you know, who's the better cop.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Willow, you feel like this morning, Willow has outfitted you today.
She is outcopping me at the moment.
Willow would be aware of this, right? Yeah. Like, Willow's totally knows, and that was the point, because we're going to meet another cop, right? So she's trying to outfit the whole situation.
And next to the two of you, Dorothy definitely does not look like a cop. She very much looks more like a teacher today than she did before.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a professor, right? Like, you are a teacher.
Mm-hmm. She's a professor at Rice.
So Dorothy comes up, as Willow approaches y'all, kind of, you know, hi, good morning, cuts straight through the bullshit, like, very much in business mode. She's got, like, a attaché case, flips it open, pulls out two folders, like, literally fans them out, hands them to y'all. And she says, this is different than what I'm about to hand the lady inside. This is for you guys, right? If y'all want to take a second and look at it, it'll probably help this meeting out if y'all know what's going on.
Dorothy nods and opens it up.
Sure.
So inside is like a typed list of bullet points from yesterday. It is, your guys' is 100% accurate. It details what we saw yesterday as far as at the crime scene, at George's house, very exactly like you would enter into evidence for a case, right? Like, she has done the professional work. She has cataloged all the evidence. It is all, if she was going to turn in this report to a supervisor, it's prepared to that level perfectly. Like, it is all the paperwork is done correctly. She says, all the things marked with an asterisk I omitted from Detective Littingston's copy has those omitted from it. So, while Willow isn't necessarily fully purview to the other stuff going on, she's very much aware of controlling the situation. So anything that sounds like it's not a basic kidnapping, it's not somebody went off the rails, has been omitted, right? And that's obvious to y'all when you look at the set. She says, the other thing I have prepared for this meeting is, she pulls out in an evidence bag, inside of the evidence bag is two baggies of pills. And these are the pills that she prepared last night. So she says, this one we found in George's medicine closet. And this is the one that I cooked up in the lab. And these are what Livingston will get to explain George's behavior yesterday. And she just kind of looks at y'all to see what your reaction to that is.
I think Fred just kind of nods, looks as well at the report you gave him, and he just kind of says, if ever you have some free time and you want to make a bit of money, you mind writing my reports?
I'll pay to do my homework.
She kind of grins and says, I hope your students turn in work this well.
Yeah. Same here. If they turn in something like that, they're on track. Sounds good.
She's definitely professional about it, but you can tell she's uncomfortable with any level of praise. Like, to her, it's just doing the job, right? Like, she is at core a cop.
I think he probably picks up on that. And he's going to change the subject and say, let's play nice this morning with Detective Lyddickson.
Dorothy looks at you, at Fred, when he says that, and is like, what? Like, she doesn't say what, but she gives you that face, like, oh, come on, kind of a face.
He kind of smiles. My baseline for being nice is maybe not the same as yours, but let's try to work with her. And as you put in your report, where there's an asterisk, we don't talk about that.
What are you saying about me? I can be pretty nice.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying I think you can be nicer than me as a baseline.
I see. And you both can tell Dorothy's out of it. She's super tired.
Willow notices that, but just lets it go, right?
Same.
And with the, she kind of looks at Fred and says, but we want to be heavy. We want to give her enough to do to stay out of our hair and to basically make this problem go away before it becomes a problem. That was my goal with this report.
That's the way to go. And if she keeps pushing, this is federal. What is she going to do?
Right? Dorothy just looks down at her badge and points at yours and says, these are bigger than hers.
Yep.
So quick note, for both Dorothy and Willow, you're each essentially running on stimulants this morning as opposed to a good night's rest. So I've kind of just made a note here of a certain time when those are going to wear off. And we'll deal with that in the future.
Willow's about to affect that. So on our way in, she would sneakily get something out of her Altoid tin, right? It's also in her bag.
Yeah, and she could, right? Before she enters the police station, probably.
I think she's really tired, and she would have forgot about it until she walked in.
Excellent. Yeah.
So, I don't know how that works out, but something like that. But she would definitely take another dose on the way in.
Right.
Do we see you do that?
Just describe it to the other. Yeah, describe it to him on the way into the meeting.
So after we've closed up and we're headed in the building, she would be reaching down to close her bag and instead pull out the Altoid tin, grab an Altoid out, not an Altoid, close the thing, put it back in her bag and walk in the door.
Is it obvious?
Pretty practiced and calm.
Well,
I mean, it's obvious she's getting an Altoid.
Yeah, that part's obvious. Are you studying her? If so, I'll give you a chance. Otherwise, it just looks like she's getting a breath bend.
I don't think that I would pay too much attention.
I think Fred would.
Yeah, I'm going to give Fred a shot at that. What's Fred's alertness?
A 50.
Yeah, with a 50, you don't have to roll for that at the 50. So you just happen to notice that some sort of pill, not an Altoid. White object, about the same size, but not quite an Altoid. But you don't.
And you definitely.
But it's something.
You don't swallow Altoids, right? So he definitely would notice that part.
So yeah. Fred makes a mental note.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Just keeps walks in, follows.
All right, so as you go inside, flash your badges to one of the police officers or the duty officer who's there at the front desk. They are expecting you. They buzz you through. You go past kind of the bullpen area. There's a lot of activity this morning. And they basically lead you back over to one of the conference rooms, which has been turned over. It looks like into some kind of little, I don't know, like a little mission or planning area. And they've got a board set up. They've got a picture of the girl, you know, who's missing. All right. This is Regina Balfour. They've got several pictures of her. You know, they've got information about her pinned to the board. They've got basically a timeline of when she was taken. They've got a picture of essentially George, and they've got his actual government ID photo below the photo of him as a deceased individual. They also have the photo of the fake ID up on as well. So they've got basically three photos for George. And they've got pinned to the board basically government information about his employment. You know, they've got his fingerprints are on file with the government. You know, his photos on file with the government. These records are available. It was not difficult for them to locate. And they've printed these records out, attached them to their board here. All right. And they've got a couple of strings going from George. They've got his residence, his address, some notes there already pinned to the board. A couple other strings which are going to nothing at the moment. So dead end strings. All right. And there's a couple people that are working on some computers. Someone else is on a phone. Someone else is, you know, working on some things. Lydickson separates herself from these people who are organizing information, you know, and leads you away from this room into another smaller conference room, which is pretty much next door. Asks you to come in, kind of motions to the three of you. And once you do, she closes the door, looks around. There's a small conference table. It can hold maybe 8 to 12 people, you know. The windows up blinds on them, which vertical blinds, which are down. So, and the, just fluorescent lights in the ceiling, cork board on, you know, on the ceiling as well. You know, small-ish, nondescript conference room. She takes a seat, and she looks tired already. Lydickson does. She just kind of motions at the table and some empty chairs. Doesn't really say anything to the three of you.
Willow kind of... Is there a whiteboard or like... At one end of the table or the other?
In this particular room, there is would it be a whiteboard? Yeah, it'd be a whiteboard. There's also a cork board as well. They're currently empty. There's nothing on these ones. So the room next door is more the command center. This is an adjoining or adjacent or conference room.
So Willow would she would very imposingly I assume that she would have sat down at the head of the table. So she'd go to the next seat over, put her bag on the table and loudly be opening it, get the folders out that she showed the guys before, and very conspicuously lay the evidence bag down and be like, I have the answers that you were asking for last night. This should help your strategy session next door.
Oh, okay. I wasn't really... What do you got?
So she lays out the type notes first and says, this is the evidentiary record of the notes that I took yesterday. This is our investigation on site when we met you earlier in the day at the Walmart. This is our witness statements I took then. And this is the collection of evidence from George's house last night before you arrived. In the bag next.
Yes.
She starts to talk and Willow just, Willow's in dictation mode, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, next to that you have the evidence that we collected from George's house last night. So it was part of ongoing DA internal investigation. That's why I was dispatched before and why you seem to not know what was going on, because it's an internal DEA problem. George has been, we call it off the wagon for a couple of months now. It's been causing problems at the shop and in his home life. So we were investigating. This is the results of those investigations. We had found some of these pills already at the shop and other places that we had control over. Last night when we searched the house, we found the second bag. She points out the one that's in the evidence bag. Uh-huh. It has a chain of custody slip on it. It has Willow's signature on it. This is what we found at his residence last night. You can look at my credentials, but I'm more than certified to test these two. But please send them to your lab. They'll verify my results that these are the same pills. And you should find evidence of these in his system as well.
She seemed a little overwhelmed. She takes a deep breath, sets aside your written reports, grabs the pill bottles in the evidence bags. Doesn't take them out of the evidence bags. She kind of holds it by the bag, looks through it, you know, analyzes it for a second, sets it down, has this kind of confused look on her face, then a shrug. So, was he dealing drugs? What's going on?
No, as far as we can tell, it was just a consumption thing, but you understand at the DEA how that would be an issue, right?
I understand.
I realize that this really doesn't help you much. I assume all of my notes about the kidnapping, the parents, all of your officers would have gotten the same information. If not, feel free to cross-reference them. That's why they're there. I don't know that this helps you very much with your ongoing investigation of the kidnapping, but this should help you understand why a DEA officer was there acting the way that George was.
She nods a couple times as this is kind of sinking into her. And basically her brain, the wheels are turning in her brain. But you don't get a sense from looking at her that any of this is raising any red flags. On the contrary, everything here is 100% legit. It's exactly what she, you know, what she would do in the field. The documentation looks precise. The evidence, everything here looks completely on the up and up. And so, and she's, her kind of tired detective brain is skeptical, but you don't see any register in her eyes that there's any kind of suspicion. On the contrary, she almost seems to relax a little bit. Like her body language kind of shrinks a little bit. She detenses, nods a few times, and then she quietly starts looking through your documents and your reports. A couple minutes. She reads quietly.
Willow actually sits down and is quiet. Gives her the space, lets her do her thing. But kind of glances at Fred, like, this is you now, like, communicates mm-hmm. that to Fred, right?
He waits until she's done. If she has any questions or she kind of puzzles over specific things.
So she does look to Fred next. Says, so why is the FBI involved with this DEA internal investigation?
It's a good question. I'd like to apologize as well for all the secretive and vague answers yesterday. You know how it is with federal agencies. Sometimes we're not even sure what we can share and well, say.
Mm-hmm. So what can you share?
I can share that my superiors maybe, perhaps, the girl has been kidnapped and has crossed state lines. Maybe not. Not a chance that they want to take. In any case, I'm here. I could leave. I could go work on something else and let you all handle this. But there's a DEA agent, consultant, and I'm here. So might as well pool our resources and try to figure this out.
There's a little girl out there who's in danger, and if we don't find her soon, her medical condition is extremely, extremely serious. We're all very, really worried about this. I mean, obviously, any help that the three of you can give us, we'll take it. I just don't see that we should be fighting or causing. You know, the bureaucracy really shouldn't get between us. There's a little girl out there, and that's really my only concern.
You're right.
I'll bring her back safe. So many of these cases I've seen, they don't end well. Especially if sitting on our hands and we're not working together and we're every hour wasted is a chance she could die.
You're right.
So Willow opens up her attaché case again and pulls out another folder, and this one she only has once. She says, "This is all the research that I got done on Regina's disease last night. This is my medical opinion on how long that we have until she beyond the scope of medical help anymore without some intervention. Needs to be taking this medication.
How much time do we have?
Definitely not more than a week. To play it safe, 4 days.
Well, she's been missing now. I was Thursday afternoon. It hasn't been a full day yet, but we're working. So, but listen, does your investigation, your internal investigation, I don't need the particulars, but was he working with anyone else? Is there someone else, a co-conspirator, a associate that we don't know of, who he clearly has an accomplice? We need to find that accomplice. That accomplice has the girl. That's our mission. We have to find the girl. So anything you can do to help us find the accomplice or any possible accomplices, we're going to talk to everybody who ever knew Mr. Lewison. Everyone. At his job, his neighbors, his family, his friends, his associates. If he went to a bar, if he was in a club, if he was a sports person, anyone who he's ever associated with, as far as we can track down, we need to talk to all of them and see if anyone knows where this girl might be, or anyone is acting suspiciously, if anybody might have something to hide. And I've got a lot of people here, I've got all the resources, but frankly, the more resources I can get, the better.
On that topic, I'm waiting on a pager.
Okay.
We got a partial of the plate that drove away with Regina, which you talked about the accomplice. This must be that person's vehicle. I'm waiting on a response. I gave them the partial. I expect an answer today, hopefully.
Well, we've got an answer. Can I say the three of you are on board? Can I get your help with this? If any help I can have on this, I can... More people on the ground, the better. So if we can work together on this investigation, I would really... this girl needs your help. Do I have it?
So Dorothy nods, but I think if she says anything, she's leaning into the sympathy card, regarding this little girl, and not saying anything else.
Willow would defer to Fred here, but... Yeah.
Fred is going to say, you're right. We'll do what we can.
So after that, she would say, Willow would bring up, I have a possibility. I don't know. Look, I'm a scientist and a doctor. I'm not the one you went out in the field interviewing people. Neither are these two. I have a possible lead that I'd like to follow, that I need access to a real lab, or I need access to a hospital.
Well, of course, I mean, anything you can do to help. The more people I have on the ground, the better. But she reaches her hand out. Will you help me on this?
She reach her hand out to Willow?
Yeah.
I want to see. My initial reaction is that Willow would shy from it, but I'm going to roll it. She would... as soon as she does it, she would know the social awkwardness, and she would try... She'd be like... Like, actually wring her hands and just... We're glad to help.
All right, so she grabbed your hand and kind of there's a squeeze, you know, and shakes it a little bit. So Special Agent Keeson, right?
Yes, Keeson.
And she looks over at Fred.
Offers her hand.
Good. And she said, Agent, is it Fontaine?
It is. Frederick Fontaine.
Thank you. Lytics, obviously. Why don't you come with me? I'll show you what we've got. So she leads you back out of the small conference room next door to the bigger room where they've been working on this case. So they kind of set up. They're going through some paperwork. They're going through somebody's on the phone talking to somebody else. Somebody else is on the computer running some records. There's a bunch of things happening. She goes over to the table where some recent papers are. They have a list of partial license plates. And they've already you know, got all the partials pulled, and they've, you see, they've highlighted and checked as they've gone through them already. Now they've circled one. All right. And so she points to it. She says, this is a rental vehicle. This one, it matches the description entirely. It's a lot here near the Houston airport. So we went there this morning. The vehicle itself has not yet been found, but in the parking lot of the rental agency, we found Mr. Lewison's personal vehicle parked in the parking lot. Apparently, he drove his vehicle there, left his vehicle there, obtained this rental vehicle. We're still looking for it. We've got an APB out for this specific vehicle. She shows you the full license plate. You know, they got the full license plate, make and model, the whole bit. So if anyone sees it, we've got the state police, the local municipalities, and the neighboring cities are also looking for it. We're going to forward this over to the feds, border control, and anyone else. You know, hopefully this vehicle hasn't gone far, but there's been some significant time between the taking and now. We don't know how far it's traveled. However, there's a little girl in the back of that vehicle. I don't know how long they can travel without tending to her. I'm hoping they stopped somewhere. So we're going to begin expanding our umbrella. We've got some state agents working. And the local news is also, we put a description out, the girl, anyone who's seen her. Hopefully someone will call our tip line. We've got a lot of tips so far, but nothing has materialized. But in the meantime, I want to try to see if we can track down possible accomplices. And that's what I'm working on this morning. So you have a lead at the hospital, you said?
So about halfway through her saying all of that, Willow had gone over to the table, pulled out a notebook, and started writing something. And she kind of looks up and she's like, yeah, I have a lead. It's not at the hospital. I need the equipment at the hospital. I need to go test something. And she kind of trails off and goes back to what she was writing.
So when she's talking about this and talking about expanding the umbrella and you know, looking for different leads, Dorothy would ask, have you looked into the family at all? Mr. and Mrs. Balfour, do they have any enemies or anybody that may want to hurt their daughter or hurt them? Anybody they're affiliated with their local church? Anybody who is against their church or used to be a member of their church and isn't anymore?
Well, that's actually a really good lead. I suppose that's further down on my to-do list. Right now, I'm starting with Mr. Lewiston and anyone he knows, because we know he had an accomplice. So we're trying to ID the accomplice. However, motive is an issue we haven't really tackled. We don't know his motivation. We don't know how he relates, if he relates at all, to this girl. It's frankly, your evidence kind of casts doubt on that. We thought there must be a motive why he would choose this specific girl. And it looks like maybe he even knew what was in that backpack. So there was a sense we got from the initial investigation that he knew her and knew them. However, if he's just using drugs and gone crazy, maybe that's barking up a tree. But given what it makes a lot of sense as an investigative lead. I just don't have enough people. If you wanted to speak to the family again, they've been speaking to the media. They've spoken to many of my, I've talked to them. They've spoken to my captain. So they've been happy to talk to anybody to try to find their daughter. So that's,
of course,
that's a lead I'd be happy to have you follow up
that's,
on.
That's something I was planning on doing at some point anyway, so that coincides nicely.
For what it's worth, so, and Dorothy says this a little bit, maybe not reluctantly, but like bashfully, and she looks at Willow as she's saying some of this, and she says, "It's a far cry from doing drugs to going crazy. I think that type of thing builds up in a person. It takes a while, and it doesn't just develop as immediate psychosis or whatever. It develops as paranoia. It develops as, you know, conspiracy and distrust in people, and, you know, these types of things. I don't think what happened in that Walmart was random, but I don't know why it happened either. And it could be that whoever he was working with is somebody who knew the family, or maybe even, you know, George Lewiston knew this family as well somehow. I think,
you know what, that's a good point. The accomplice could be the enemy you're speaking of. It could be a former member of the church or a current member of their congregation. Anyone who has a grudge. We haven't got any ransom notes, which we were frankly expecting, right, in a case like this. And unless, to be honest with you, I prefer we get a ransom note. That means there's some intent or a chance of return. Right. If the individual is taking the girl and not communicating with us, that's generally a very bad sign for the child involved. So
Willow stands back up and gets, like, Willow's aware of her height, so just getting close enough is imposing, right? And she hands the detective what she's been writing. And she says, this you should attach to all of your notices to your search team that have the descriptions on them. This is the medicine that the girl needs, and the basic information on how to administer it. The sooner that she can get that, it resets our clock. So right now, that it, just her getting this steroid in her, which any certified EMT field response person should be able to handle, that will reset the clock. This should be imperative information.
Yes, and you're right. We got to make sure that we have this available with our different units. I'll speak to my captain about getting doses ready for all our different units who are searching. If any of them find her, we can immediately administer, or at least have an EMT available with them. Okay, good. Thank you for that.
And also, when looking at the footage, this didn't trigger until I was listening to you and Dorothy talk about this just now. When George was having the altercation with the mother, and he then returns for the backpack. He gets the little girl, goes out of the frame. Mother's crying. He comes back into the frame, and they fight over the backpack. George is a DEA agent. George would know, just like I do, what's inside of the bag. And he wasn't my superior. He was at the same office as I was. Like, I knew him. But he wasn't... I never worked with him in the field, so I don't know what kind of knowledge he has directly on chemicals. But that could have been the target, or part of the target. Obviously, the girl was the easy part of the target, but he was pretty adamant about getting that bag. And something that stood out to me, and you'll see it in my type notes before, was that the mother intentionally kept life-saving medication from her daughter. And that really stood out to me as a very odd thing. Because obviously the mother's been administering this medication to her daughter since it's been prescribed, which according to her testimony was about most of her daughter's life. So why would she fight to keep that separated from her daughter? It was just something that I was going to investigate. But it sounds like you might have the manpower to run that down faster than I can.
I'll take another look at the video. I didn't get that sense when I saw it. But goodness, that's another thing to think about. Unfortunately, this morning I have several different meetings with different teams, and we're liaising with state police and also the border agencies. And I'm kind of an administrative. I got a lot of administrative stuff to do. If I could impose upon you to at least run down some of these leads, if you want to speak to the family, our main goal right now is to find who the accomplice is. And anything you can help provide on leads of possible accomplices would be a great important help to us. Can I get your help on that?
Yes.
Oh, nods.
Okay, good. You've got my number. We've got a 24-hour person will be here to answer the phone. We can coordinate anything you discover. If you need something, if you need manpower, if you have a lead you want us to look into, if you have some research you need us to do, I'll do my best to have my people help make that happen. I just want this girl found.
Miss Keaton brought an important advice, important tip for any of your patrols to have, if possible at all, the medication the girl needs, or people close by at important points. If some of your patrols or some of the officers wish to contact the Church of Regina's parents, the Church of the Passover Angel, I'd offer this piece of advice. They're a bit classical church, praising about the end of the world and it's coming, and then the date passes over, and then it's the next one. Try to have your officers be understanding and patient with them. Confrontation and denying is going to lead nowhere. They don't have to agree with it. But ideally, try to play nice with them. Get what I mean?
But yeah, I do understand. I mean, and we're treating them, we're trying to treat them like the victims as much as possible. I know that they,
good.
My understanding from talking with the family, they've been the suspects and subjects of previous government intrusions and government searches. From the sound of things, they've had multiple searches of their property by other federal agencies over the past couple of years.
They have, yes.
They profess their innocence. They clearly, they've never been arrested. Neither of them have been arrested at all. To my knowledge, nothing's been recovered from their properties or any of these searches, but they do feel like victims.
Good.
Based on their previous conduct and contact with the feds. And frankly, your agency has not had a very good record with these type of people.
It has not.
Willow kind of sighs.
So please, if you do speak to them, it sounds like you have the right approach, but just be careful. We don't need anything like that happening here in Houston.
No, and don't worry, I wasn't one of the gung-ho ones. Anyways, in any case, you're taking the good approach, seeing them as victims and trying to help them out. But do keep in mind, don't rule them out as suspects either. Be careful.
I that's pretty far-fetched to think that they would somehow be in. We have the whole thing on camera. I really can't think of any plausible way that they would be complicit in this kidnapping. It's quite a stretch, to be honest.
It is. Suspects is a strong word. Just don't rule them out.
I do like, you have a theory about someone who maybe is an enemy of theirs, or possibly a member of their congregation, or a former member of their congregation. That resonates with me. We need to look into that.
We do.
So Willow reaches into her attaché again and pulls out the pamphlet from the Church of the Passover Angel, mm-hmm. and hands it to the detective and says, "Just remember this perspective. Even if we get this little girl back, according to their literature, she's going to die next week."
So as you do that, she looks at the pamphlet, and there it's open there on the desk in front of her, you know, and basically, "The time is nearly upon us. Soon the Lord our God, through the Passover angel, will smite the wicked in Washington and all those here in this great state by inflicting the great plagues of Egypt upon all the unbelievers. And unless the persecution of the faithful ceases and the heathens adhere to his teachings, the Passover angel will inflict the final plague upon this sinful country, deaths of the firstborn." And then, of course, at the bottom in larger font, "The apocalypse arrives Sunday, August 15th, 1993.
And if, you know, in this situation, you've handed this now to Lydixon, and Dorothy's standing there, and she'll sort of casually say, didn't John say that she was their firstborn?
Yes, indeed, that's what he said. It was an odd way to phrase it, I think.
Yeah, she's also their only child. I guess usually that's the kind of wording I'd expect to hear from a parent.
Yeah, that's true. He is a preacher, so I guess I kind of took it for what it was. On the news, maybe you should see some of his... He's had several interviews already on several of the morning and evening news programs. What he's claiming, just to let you know, is essentially that he says he and his congregation, his church, can protect themselves from the... I don't know what it is, I think. The final plague, whatever. She looks at the brochure. You know, the death of the firstborn. I get the sense that he seems worried that if she's not with him, she's not safe. That's the sense I get.
Interesting. And Dorothy shrugs. Mm. We'll we'll watch them and catch up.
He's talking about the plagues of Egypt, right? I think that's essentially what their theology is. Yes. I go to church, you know. The Jews had to put like lamb's blood on their doors.
That's right.
I think that's what they did. Then they were safe, but they had to put the blood on their doors in order to be saved during the Passover. Maybe if this girl isn't in one of those buildings at the wrong time.
Do you, Detective Lidickson, do you believe that the world will end on Sunday?
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess, no, I don't.
Neither do I.
Okay, cool, good. I guess, I don't know, this stuff, it's easy to, I can see how people get kind of suckered into this. I understand. It's a very moving story, but no, we just, this, if this girl doesn't get the medicine that she needs, she's going to, she looks at Willow. She would die, Passover angel or not.
Yep.
Yeah, biblical intervention or not, this little girl is headed towards a very hard time. And
which is all the more reason that we should all get to work on trying to do what we can while we can.
Excellent. So what will you be doing?
I would like to talk to the parents, family, congregation, anyone that might have something against them. And hopefully something comes up on perhaps the card, the Green Saturn is found somewhere, or we have somewhere something else to follow.
Right, I've got an APB out for that vehicle. All the local city and the nearby municipalities, as well as this, everyone's looking for that vehicle. If anyone sees it, they'll stop it immediately. We're checking parking lots, motels, whatnot. So, if it's out there to be found, we'll find it.
Good.
I'll let you know if we hear something. Obviously, but that's my primary. Is we've got that lead. We'll keep looking for it. But if you want to speak to the family in the meantime, maybe they can give us indeed a lead into a motive for the accomplice, maybe.
That's what I'm hoping. Don't forget as well what Miss Keaton has brought forth about the medicine and these things. It would be worth looking into.
Of course, absolutely. Is there anything else?
That kind of turns to look at the girls.
Willow just closes her case and is, no, that's it. I'd love to go get to work.
Let's get to work.
Right, thank you. So she just bids you farewell. The three of you can leave the kind of little makeshift command center they've set up here in this conference room. And the cops let you out the building. They're all doing their own work. So no one seems to mind as you go to the exit, leave, meet up in the parking lot again, and have a moment to yourself. What do you want to do?
Red just sits down or goes farther away from like the officers or whatever, just kind of looks at Willow and Dorothy and just says, fucking textbook, let's go to work.
And you guys can tell Dorothy is shaking, like her hands are shaking. And it's, you know, it's hard to tell, maybe it's from the caffeine or the lack of sleep or just pure nerves. She's never been in a situation like that before.
And see, Willow's like element. Like she was chilling. Like she's exactly like Fred. Work. Let's go.
Dorothy, are you gonna be all right?
She says, Yeah. I have an idea. Can you bring me back to my car?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd love to tell y'all about this idea that I had last night that isn't in any of the papers. Because it's a little strange, but I want to run it down. But, not here. Were you going to your office, or?
Let's,
you want to go to the hotel?
Let's go. Talk about a few things. We'll go get your car, Dorothy, and let's just meet back at the hotel.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the group basically. So Fred will drive Dorothy back to the parking structure where Dorothy's vehicle is able to be accessed at this point, and then of course Willow will drive to the motel. Anything Willow wants to do on the way there, or should we just cut to the hotel scene?
We should go to the hotel, I think.
Got it. So everyone arrives in the hotel. We're, the three of you are there. Door is closed. It's going to be 11 o'clock in the morning. What do you want to do?
So,
and Dorothy is like almost laying on one of the beds. She's like leaning back, sitting down, and like closing her eyes every once in a while.
Okay, out of character real quick. Human is like your ability to sense these things, right? Like to look at somebody and determine their state or their social comfortability sure. level, right?
Yep. Body language.
So Willow's is terrible, right? But this is past that point. Like Willow knows you're exhausted, right? Like on top of that, she's a doctor. So like Willow's immediate thought process is I need Dorothy. I need Dorothy functioning. So Willow would see this and offer a solution. Not from the Altoids tin, but okay. legitimately from a prescription bottle. She'll hand it to you. Turn it around. You can see it's Adderall. It's 5 milligram Adderall. There's about 10 in the bottle. And she is legitimately an MD. They're prescribed to herself. They are exactly what they say they are. She'll just kind of look at you and say, I know you're a professor, you know what this is.
Go for yeah, it. I've heard of my students using it. I've never used it myself. But I mean, I'm no stranger to chemicals.
What is she?
I'm an expert in chemicals.
Yeah, so she'll take it and wash it down with some water or coffee or whatever's around.
You got either one is available, your choice.
Coffee, definitely.
Coffee and Adderall.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's fine.
Yep.
You choke it down.
What?
Yeah.
What's Fred? Does Fred like visibly react to this at all?
He just kind of looks deadpan, just kind of sighs, kind of redresses himself, and that's it. There's no comment.
And Dorothy looks at Fred and she's like, "What? Did you actually sleep last night?"
Yeah.
She rolls her eyes.
Willow kind of looks, is like, some of us had work to do. This snarky as Willow's ever been, right?
I think he kind of half smiles at this, just kind of shrugs. If I don't turn my brain off when I come home, it's not going to end.
That's fair.
Willow says, so yeah, the doctor in me fully supports that, but the scientist in me suffers from I gotta solve the mystery syndrome. Speaking of which, I got an interesting piece, guys. Like,
yeah, lay it on us.
Shoot.
So, I was looking at the disease that Regina has, and it's not super uncommon, but it's definitely not that common here, like in the U.S. It's not that common. It's not that common in the Western world. And you were talking about the book that George had you read, and the preacher went to Africa, right? And that's where the whole revelation happened to him.
Right.
And he spent some time over there. I want to go look. I don't think I can get access to any of George's, you know, medical records, or I don't think he's going to give me any saliva or blood, but I'm curious if he brought back whatever disease the little girl is suffering from. And when she says that,
George,
not George,
John,
the dad,
John,
yeah.
John. Gotcha. I'm sorry. Yeah. I said George. So the dad brought back. So, because in Willow's head, and she's explaining this as like, it's a perfectly logical scientific step, right? Like, it just makes sense to her. If the little girl has this disease, it came from somewhere, dad brought it back from Africa. But while she says that, she's looking at Fred, not Dorothy. She's looking directly at Fred when she says, you know, that it was something that the dad infected her with from Africa.
It's possible. But why? Or no, why he got it by it implies that he didn't bring this back by accident, but what if he didn't? Or what if we don't know shit about the Balfours? We really don't.
We should find out.
We should.
That's what I was thinking. It's just,
what can we do?
We'll talk to them.
They're not going to tell us.
stick around. Talk to other people.
Okay.
Talk to their congregation. Don't be confrontational. Just be curious. I'm sure if you ask, if you show that you have interest in what they're proclaiming, they'll tell you all about it.
Okay. I think I've got an idea.
Good.
That's good, because this is where my expertise ends. I'm not me and people. It's not my thing. What you saw in there with the lady cop? Don't ask for that for like another 6 months or something. Like, that's hard for me. That's not my thing.
That's all right.
And then she says, "But these church people," and like she looks straight at the ground when she says that. But it's like, it's not that she's not ashamed, but it's more like disgust almost. Like she's like, "These are really not my people." So I'll do what I can, but I'm going to have to be in the background for the most part on this.
I'll be perfectly honest. When I gave Detective Lidickson that advice about not being too confrontational and being open, it was for her.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was that about?
Mainly that was for me.
I thought it was clever, though.
It is, but I have some trouble with religious groups. I have a hard time getting into their mindset, which is what I do for my job. And understanding, because they don't think like I do. Most people do. But sometimes extremists, or not even extremists, just people that I can't really relate to, I have difficulty. And when I have difficulty in something like this, I can be maybe a bit too harsh.
I know what you're saying. My dad's the same way. And think about it this way, if I may.
Of course.
Nobody thinks that they're the bad guy. Nobody. Everybody hopes or wants or believes that what they're doing is the right thing to do by them, by their family, their loved ones. You know, people who believe strange things don't believe those things because they're crazy or deluded or anything like that. They believe them because they have seen some kind of truth in those things. And to them, that's what makes sense. That's what points them to the right thing to do, the right way to be, the right thing to believe. For you, for me, for anybody, I mean, it's different. It's different for each of us. I mean, even between the three of us, I think we each have different opinions and perspectives on whether it's religion or philosophy or whatever, but nobody's out there just being crazy because they're crazy. Well, some people maybe, but religious
people, there's a medical explanation for most of those times.
But when you're dealing with a cult, I mean, frankly, it's a cult.
It is.
We're not talking about mental illness necessarily.
No.
We're talking about people who are believing this guy, John Balfour, and his experiences. His conviction probably comes from his own personal revelation of truth. Whatever he discovered or experienced in Kenya was so strong and appealing to him and to his sensibilities that he believes it wholeheartedly, and people feed off that. And that doesn't make them bad people. And I think you're absolutely right. You should look at them as being victims. Even if in this situation, John Balfour is the bad guy, he doesn't believe that he's the bad guy.
So Fred, your pager vibrates.
Very true. 1 second. He just goes for his pager.
Willow looks like she wants to engage in that more, and then just no. Like, logic clicks and she's just off of it.
It's a phone number with a star 333. And you recognize the star 333.
So one moment. Kind of goes in the 288 telephone, payphone, and call the number back.
You got put a couple of quarters in there or whatnot, dial that number. And yeah.
Yep.
Rings a few times. It picks up actually after the first ring. Hello? Is it Brett?
Yep.
Is it Morrison? I'm amazed you paged me back so quickly. I'm on a break here. I'm in recess. I wanted to just reach out to you. I thought you'd call me back at lunch, but it's fine. I got some information for you on those what we talked about this morning. Is this a safe place to talk?
Kind of looks around. I'll go with not really, but it can make do.
All right. Well, anyhow, I'm not talking about anything. You know what?
Should be fine.
Here's what we got. So that church, right? That church. We've looked into them before. Different government agencies look into them in the past. We've had other people put in complaints. Actually, old Belfour, he's on the watch list, the U.S. terror watch list. Now, he hasn't done anything specific, mind you, but he got put on there several years ago, making multiple flights back and forth to Kenya. Reaching into some areas that we have some concern about some of the people over there. For instance, there's this group down there called the Red Trumpet. I'm not familiar with this group. Some sort of African terror organization of some sort. But he was doing ministry, like basically in their backyard. Was allowed to come and go. So, of course, he got flagged. Now, none of his flights ever got, canceled, mind you. But we, State Department's keeping an eye on Balfour, just to let you know. So, he's made multiple trips over there over the past 10 years. Looks like 6 or 7 as far as been documented. A couple months at a time, ministry, right? Ministry reasons. So that church of his, real interesting, hadn't been around that long. Looks like about 7-8 years as far as when it was established, but they've been doing pretty well for themselves. IRS audits of the church, 2 previous audits, mind you, of this church. We got people keeping an eye on these people. We worry about money coming in out of the country, funneling, whatever. Church's done pretty well for itself, at least over $3 million annual in donations. They don't have a lot of holdings, mind you, so a lot of this money, probably liquid. From what we can tell from looking at the finances, I got some documents here from some of the previous audits, a lot of medical bills, I think related to a daughter, something like that. So they've been spending medical, they've been spending on the property itself. They do a lot of contributions, so we've been tracing their contributions. Some right-wing groups were a little bit suspicious of, mind you, but nothing actionable so far. And a lot of those right-wing groups are actually contributing money back into the church. It's, one of those symbiotic relationships. They all pay each other for this shit.
Right.
Anyhow, looking over the... he's got no record. His wife, obviously, has got no record. No arrests, no searches. But we had a couple of searches there. Frankly, I think George got one of them searches done himself. Might have been Williams that helped him out with that years ago. I'll check. Because ATF did check his property. You never met Williams, did you?
I didn't, sadly.
He was before your time. We lost him. Mm. Anyhow, he had some ATF guys look at the property. They've got some registered weapons there. Nothing illegal. Long rifles, shotguns, things like that. It's typical stuff for a Texan. Nothing actionable. Everything's legally purchased, stored. Nothing, no illegal firearms whatsoever. No explosives, other contraband. You know the drill. Nothing actionable. Now this group, they're not going to gun shows like those sick guys at Waco. They're not moving to selling arms. They're not involved in anything, that we can get into. It's just this goddamn ministry. And frankly, they never got in trouble so far. So as far as I can tell, looking into these guys' background, other than him being on a watch list, the constant travel back and forth, hell, it's got a rational explanation, right? These guys are ministers, so what can we do?
Sure looks, if it looks clean...
You know the drill.
Well, that still helps me a lot.
So I don't know what else to tell you here. I got nothing else... I can give you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I can cue you in on our next move. We're going to go talk to the Balfours and the congregation. Play nice with the local law enforcement. They're going to look for accomplice, car of the accomplice. And hopefully we can find the girl, the daughter.
That'd be great. I mean, it'd be nice to button this thing up. Whatever it was George is doing.
Exactly. Well, that's what we're working for.
All right, and how's that detective? How's the situation with her going?
It went well. This Willow Keaton, I've got her last name, prepared a whole lot and essentially gave her lots of things to work with.
That's the DEA agent, right?
That's the DEA agent, yes.
All right, I found out who her supervisor is and who sent her down there. I can probably get her pulled off to do something else if she's getting in the way.
No. She's actually helpful.
All right, it's good to hear that, but, I mean, she's not read in.
If I need to do it, I'll do it. I'm not going to tell her anything she doesn't need to know.
All right, you know the drill.
Hopefully it doesn't come to that, but...
All right, good. On my end here, I don't know what else I can give you. I can't get a warrant for this church. I got nothing. I'm not going to put my neck out for that. Sorry.
No. We're not there yet either, if it ever comes to that. So, for the moment, thank you for your help. That's pretty much all.
If you need something else, you let me know.
Will do.
All right. Give my best to Dorothy there. I don't want to feel left out. You know, this is kind of her first time. She doing okay in the field?
Oh, yes, she is. She's keeping herself busy. She's bringing in some interesting points and counterpoints. She's being very helpful.
All right. I mean, you know the drill with Dorothy. Just I don't want her feeling like we're cutting her out because we're cutting her out.
Well, we are, but so far I don't think she feels that way for the moment. It'll come, but until then.
If it does, just don't let her know. You know what I'm saying?
Of course not.
I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. I got to get back to the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Doing good work there, Fred. You're doing a good job.
I know.
They tell me all your stories. All the little worries you cry. They tell me what the world needs, what to say, who to please, where my loyalties should lie.